And now for your regularly scheduled program from Australia. Mick Dundee is back, and this time he is calling the shots. Hulk Hogan returns in the role that made him famous and international success in the Crocodile Dundee Murders. He is going to after anyone that got in the way of Mick Dundee. Look out, folks. This is the real Punisher. You are tuned to FPN. Welcome to Phantom Podcast Network. This is Legal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of 1980s action cinema. Celebrating the heroes of yesterday, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Bruce Willis, Van Damme, all the way down to, of course, the big great action films that we all enjoyed on VHS, and of course, Betamax. The loves of American Ninja, all the way through to Cyborg Cop and beyond. Here at Phantom Podcast Network's Legal Mullet Podcast, join Adam O'Brien as we celebrate action movie cinema.
Well, g'day, folks. How you going? This is the Lethal Mullet, Adam O'Brien, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia for Lethal Mullet Podcast and another 007 Bond special, this time with the Schwa, Jedi Schwa, of course, all the way from Techno Retro Dads in Colorado in the USA. And we're going to look at a little bit of everything, what he loves of Bond. A lot of it's going to be Connery tonight, folks. Well, it seems we've got a call coming in. Who could it be, folks? Hang on, we best take this. It looks like it's the boss, that's right. Alright, we better take this, even though we're live on air. Alright, hello, you're live on air. Kevin, is that you?
Hey man, how you doing, man? I'm just looking at the Raiders results on the side of the road here as I push back in my way around Sacramento.
Oh, you mean Santa Barbara, right? Is that where you are?
Yeah man, Santa Barbara, man.
Well, looks like we've lost Kev. He's gone. Looks like another call. All right, you're live on the air. Ooh, look who it is. It is the other co-founder, the one, the only, Kyle Wagner.
Well, you know.
So, Kyle, tell us how things are on your side of the pond over there. Are things all good?
Well, you know,
Alright folks, time to get into it. We're going to chat some 007 here with Jedi Schwa of Techno Retro Dads. If you haven't checked out their show, go and check it out. Covers everything, cartoons, and even cereal from the 1980s, and more. Alright, let's get into it. Alrighty, Schwa, mate, how you going? Welcome back to the show. So how you been?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How about it's nice to hang out with you again, and especially these days. I love being able to hang out with my friends no matter where they are in the world.
Awesome. Now, folks, if you don't know who Jedi Schwa is and you haven't checked out Techno Retro Dads, do yourself a favor. Jump on RetroZap.com and check out Techno Retro Dads. Now, tell us all about what the show's about. Obviously, you're on the show as co-host also with Shaz Bazaar, and talk all things 80s, but tell us all about how it started, how you got it all together, and, you know, what can listeners look forward to in the show?
How do we get it started? Well, I met Shaz Bazaar. We met online, you know, on some forums, and we were talking about things we like. Started off with Star Wars, and then we started talking about other things that we grew up with, you know, 80s cartoons, TV shows, movies, superheroes, cereal, video games, and we discovered that we were basically the same person living in two different parts of the world. So after a while, we're like, well, we should just record this stuff. We're talking about it anyway, and that's what we do. We just like to reminisce with stuff, and the cool thing about it, and this is why it's Techno Retro Dads, right, is because we enjoy reminiscing about the old stuff, but then sharing that stuff with our kids, new generations, seeing reboots, remakes, and stuff like that, because we love it all. We don't have to compare what's better, what's worse. We just love it all. We just love being entertained.
Mate, good to hear. Because the end of the day, this is what it's all about, celebrating all fandoms, like just like we do here on the Phantom Podcast Network. But I've got to ask you, you know, obviously, you know, you're covering all this great stuff. you know, I would think at the end of the day, this is a great time to be a fan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like I need to defend any of the stuff I like, because that's the stuff that I enjoy. And you know what? If other people don't enjoy it, that's totally okay. They like stuff too. So I just choose to look at the positive stuff. It's a lot more fun to talk about.
I think one of the great things that you guys cover is like a lot of the ads. I mean, ads for cereals, ads for, you know, God, all the way back to even AA batteries. I mean, you probably remember the old Energizer Bunny one, you know, these things will last forever. Or in this case, out here, we had the guy from the Aussie Rules, and he'd be going, yeah, oi! And it was always about these Energizers that would love forever. Just keep going and going and going.
You know, what's interesting is that I'd probably be more likely to buy the Australian version there. That's that's appealing to me.
Now, the thing is, do you guys actually remember, you know, Jacko, his name was. Jacko was actually part of Sam J. Jones' TV show. It was kind of like a little bit of a Mad Max knockoff. It was called The Highwayman. It was a hell of a show. Do you remember that one? Yeah. He used to go, oi!
Yeah, you know, I think I remember Highwayman.
I'm guessing it came out around about 85, 86 or something like that. And it was kind of a an action thing with a truck, you know?
Yes. What could be better than that? Wow. I've been looking for a car like that still. I haven't found one.
You get this crazy, you know, truck, semi-trailer, B-double, which turns into a helicopter. You know, it's crazy. It's like that, you know, cartoon show Mask that came out.
I could be like the Thunderbirds, you know? I need a garage that just opens up and I can come out from my basement.
All right, before we get into the main topic here and chat some James Bond, what have you been up to while all these restrictions have been going on?
Yes, I have been able to revisit tons of retro movies and TV shows and go back and you know, watch all these things that I love that I generally don't have a lot of time to watch. But luckily, you know, now I can sit and put them on in the background while I'm working from home, or just you know, I save a little bit of time going to and from work, driving my kids around, and that. Now I'm able to just kind of lay back, maybe in my recliner, and watch a good old retro movie or two, maybe something with action.
You done listening to Phantom Podcast Network's Lethal Mullet Podcast. Yeah!
Awesome. It's great to hear. I've been watching some movies too. I've been watching Suburban Commando, starring, of course, Hulk Hogan and Christopher Lloyd, amongst others. And it's really about a 1 million-year-old police officer from over in the alien districts of goodness knows where comes to Earth looking for the Chosen One. It's a hell of a movie. And of course, it you know, it's crazy, it's comedy, and of course you get Doc Brown as the guy that has to look after him in the suburbs.
Oh, and I tell you what, this is why I love talking to you, is because I just take notes while you talk. You come up with these cool movies that I wanna. It's like making a nice little playlist of things to give me to do in the next month or two, right? It's great.
And the other thing, too, is the film's been done twice, because the film got done again a couple of years later as Abraxas. Or what was it before? I don't know. One of them outdid the other, and that is, of course, with Jesse the Body Ventura. And wasn't he a governor of somewhere in Arkansas or Mississippi? Or...
Let's see. I think it was Minnesota. Governor of Minnesota, yes.
You got to remember, this is a movie that Arnie turned down. You know, he said, this just sounds like, you know, a million-year-old Terminator from the alien worlds of Mars. And of course, you know, that's what happened. He turned it down and he said, hey, Jesse, you want this? And Jesse goes, yeah, you know, I'll take it. Yeah, why not? But what is funny about this film is that Sven Ole Thorsen, Arnie's old bodybuilding buddy, powerlifting buddy, karate guy, you know, he's done a bit of everything. He's in this as basically the lead villain. And it is hilarious because he even gets a 20-second monologue. It's hilarious.
Yes. And you know what? I think you turned me on to that movie. That was a cool movie. That was fun.
Yeah, that movie's a lot of fun. But tonight, we're here to chat 007, get to the heart of what makes this character so cool. We've done another episode on this and covered Jaguar Lives, a great film, which is kind of like a I suppose a knockoff of Bond that came out in 1979 with Joe Louis, the karate sensation, leading this film and starring in it for the first big major Hollywood production he was doing. And well, it's not really Hollywood, it's come from Spain he made this one. And of course, one of the things he did in this was had all the big Bond villains of the era, Scaramanga, Dr. No, and of course, Blofeld. Plus, it also had a Bond girl too. So there's a film not a lot of people know about, but what are your thoughts on Bond?
Nice. Hey, you can never go wrong with James Bond for me. Even the bad ones are a lot of fun. You know, at least, well, except for Casino Royale. That's not really a James Bond movie to me, but the original Casino Royale.
Well, you get plenty of Bonds in that one, don't you? And that is a crazy film. All right, before we get into the show tonight, here's how you can contact us here at the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Follow The Lethal Mullet at The Lethal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for all your action needs from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. And be sure to check out the show on the master feed at fpn.podbean.com and check out this show also on App Store, at Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and of course the one, the only iHeart Radio. Tell us what you love, what you want to see, and what more you want us to cover here on the Lethal Mullet's Facebook page.
Well, you know what? If you would like to listen to Techno Retro Dads or any of the podcasts that I am on, really the best place to find us is RetroZap.com. You can find our podcast there and a whole variety of other cool podcasts too. And you can also find us on iTunes and, you know, all of the podcast players.
All right, it's time to head into the Lethal Mullet Pub. Let's get into it.
Festa.
All right, folks, welcome to the pub. As you can see, it's pretty rowdy already. Everyone's here. And of course, I'm the Lethal Mullet, and we are joined today in the pub, as you already know, with, of course, the Schwa Techno Retro Dads. All right, bartender, get us two medium dry martinis with a twist of lemon. Shaken, not stirred. All right.
Here you go. And what is Schwa going to be having? Some martini too.
Schwa, you going to have a martini, mate, or what?
That's okay. I'll take it. Got to keep my wits, you know. That's unless you're giving me a martini.
Suppose we should chat some Bond versus Bond. You remember the year, don't you? Back that far away ago, mate. Eh?
I won't go back to '83. That was a good year for Bond films.
Sure was. The Battle of the Bonds, when, of course, Roger Moore versus Sean Connery both had battling productions. Eon Productions versus, of course, Kevin McClory with his Thunderball reboot.
1983, Octopussy versus Never Say Never Again. Ringside seats for everybody as Sean Connery battles Roger Moore. James Bond versus James Bond.
Of course, great film, and you know, Never Say Never Again for me is the better of the two. Here's something that's non-Eon Productions and starred Kim Basinger. But, you know, first film and being directed by Erwin Kirschner. Hmm?
Yeah, it was. Yes, that's right. So now I've heard she didn't get along too well with Erwin Kirschner, that it wasn't a very good experience for her. But I kind of chalk that up to her inexperience, you know, being so young and not having done any movies before this. And probably, you know, Sean Connery was a pretty big presence on the set, because I've generally heard good stuff about Kirschner. People usually got along with him, but hey, you know, everybody's different. Maybe he wasn't for her.
I think what's interesting, you've got a return by Sean Connery to the role to basically spite Cubby Broccoli's empire, because they didn't get along on the idea of James Bond, obviously. But then you've got great M and a great, I think, a really good Blofeld in, of course, Max von Sydow. But I can't remember if it was Edward Fox or James Fox, but it's the same one that was in that movie with Harrison Ford where they go behind the enemy lines in World War II. And it had Robert Shaw, I think?
Force 10 from Navarro.
That's right, and it had Franco Nero ended up being the Enter the Ninja, only a little bit later in 1980. Quite a good damn film, that one.
Hey, man. This is Kevin Reitzel. I'm here on my mountain bike listening to Little Mother Podcast, man. And don't forget to check out Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast on FBN.
Alright, folks, time to go in the Lethal Cafe. A little bit quieter to get a little bit more in depth with what 007 has been up to. And we're going to be chatting again, of course, Jedi Schwa. We're going to get into why Never Say Never Again was a great film. It really is a Bond film.
Yeah, it had a different feel to it. Which I could... having watched Bond movies growing up, always on TV, you know, but my dad was a huge Bond fan, and so I was familiar with everything that had come up to this point. You know, it felt like we were in a different generation of Bond, you know, an older Bond, which there's nothing wrong with, of course, but it just, you know, had kind of a different feeling to it, which I still enjoyed, but it was different. Now, I don't know how much this affects it, but my first Bond movie that I ever saw was Goldfinger.
Oh wow.
That was my dad's favorite one, and so that was the one that I was exposed to first. And then after that, I was just kind of, you know, whenever a Roger Moore Bond movie was on, that's kind of what I saw the most. So I especially have an affinity for those two, and for two of them in the same year. I mean, you know, I didn't care if it felt different.
You know, what's interesting, Goldfinger really broke the mold. I mean, that was pretty much the formulaic Bond after that, because we had our little pre-credit sequence with that one too, where he's on his old, you know, previous mission or vice versa. And then you do get to see him chill out afterwards, you know, whether it's, away from the job and stuff like that. And then, of course, M will call him back to, well, Money Pan will say, hey, James, you have to come back to the office. And he'll have to do his old spiel again, starting the mission. And, of course, that had Gert Frobe as, of course, Goldfinger, you know. Oh, Mr. Yep. Bond, they want you to die! You know, all those classic lines. And, of course, yeah. the premier Bond girl, Pussy Galore.
Yep, of course, because, hey, it's a Bond film. If you don't have double entendres and puns in it, I mean, you know, to me, it's a little bit harder for me to get into it as a Bond movie. So I struggle a little bit with the modern-day Daniel Craig ones as far as them being Bond movies to me. They're great action movies. I love to watch them, but it just doesn't feel like Bond to me.
Now, I kind of feel like they should do the Bond movies set in the past. Set them where the books are. Set them in the 60s. Make them period pieces.
Great idea. Ah, that's a fantastic idea. I would totally love to see that.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, like he's a chauvinistic character. He is a sexist misogynist. That's what the character is written as, you know. And yes. That's what Daniel Craig did get from it. He got the darkness of that character.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I'm sensitive to the fact that, you know, that is definitely not a good way to portray a hero in this day and age. But this is something that I really try to do with, because I'm so deeply involved in retro entertainment, you know, and just things that I grew up with, and is that I put myself in the place, in the culture of the time when it came out, and appreciate it kind of for what it was, but understand that, you know, there's something, and there are, man, I'll go back and watch some of those Bond things and some things he'll say or do, and it kind of makes me, you know, like, okay, we don't do that anymore, but okay.
And it's fun, like going back and actually seeing, like, I think Sean, for example, you know, there's no mistake, Sean was the premier Bond. I mean, he was the man when it came to Bond, you know, even though Ian Fleming didn't like him as Bond.
Yes, I have heard that. James Bond's not Scottish. He's not that tall. He's not. There's a lot of things visually and just the way he carries himself that James Bond was not in the Ian Fleming books. And I went back, because my dad had the collection of all of them, I went back, started with Dr. No, and read several of the Ian Fleming Bond books, and in my head, I always pictured Sean Connery, because to me it fit really well. So I think the producers and a lot of the audience, maybe we're skewed because we've just been exposed to so much Sean Connery as Bond, but to me, I think I was seeing something in the Bond character that Ian Fleming didn't see. Now, the one I would say that Roger Moore fit in my head more than any of the other books was The Spy Who Loved Me, which was nothing like the movie. The book was completely different. As a matter of fact, it was almost like James Bond wasn't even a main character of the book. He was sort of this side character, and it was the woman who fell in love with him that was the main character. It was told from her point of view. It was a very interesting take on a Bond story.
Nice. Yeah, I've seen a lot of the, like, not only that one, but I suppose Octopussy and the Living Daylight. Some of these smaller ones that are not full-size novels, I think. They're more like novellas and short stories. And yeah, they sort of, they move around the character. The character is used as almost just like a setting. And then we're exploring some of these other, you know, characters.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I haven't read any of the shorter ones, but I would like to go do that.
Definitely. Well, what I'm currently doing through Amazon, I've, because right now deliveries are free to Australia, so long as you've got Amazon Prime, which I have. And so I've collected the Ian Fleming books. I'm currently reading from, I think it's Casino Royale.
Which is really good one. Oh, I love that book. That's a great James Bond book.
And it's
kind of sets everything up.
It really does. Like, there's obviously M's in it. There's no gadgets and stuff like that, which is what I do like about it. His wits are his real way of getting through this against Le Chiffre.
Yep.
And we get a little taste of Smirsch in there with Schmop Spionum, which is death to spies, that sort of thing, where they're hunting themselves, trying to hunt for operatives from whether it's MI6 or CIA. We meet Felix Leiter in there as well, who's pretty much described as he is in Dr. No, like it's you know, American.
Yes.
Basically, beach bum, 6'2", you know, and you know, can handle himself. So he's the Jimmy Bond, like that Casino Royale TV play they did in the 1950s. But they said, "What's your name, man? My name's Jimmy Bond. How are you doing?" Yeah. You know, he looks more like Rocky Marciano, or is that boxer, than he looked like anything else.
yeah. And Felix has an interesting story, destiny, I guess. If once you get to the Live and Let Die book. Yeah, let me know after you've read that, and we'll have to talk about that.
We'll do, because I think that's the second one in the chronology. I was looking through. They're all over the place, because obviously they made the movies at different times, but I think it goes Casino Royale, Live and Let Die, then From Russia with Love, and then goes to Moonraker. So kind of like you've got the Roger Moore ones creep into the novel storyline, so they pick it all over the place. The difference I see with Moonraker is that it's apparently just rockets heading over to London. Is the big bad?
Yeah, well, and you don't see many of the movies have that much of a resemblance to the books, as much as the earlier movies. After that, they kind of got away from the books. You get like maybe the basic storyline of the books or a few characters here and there, but after that, it really kind of skews into the character that he became from the movies.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And the typical Bond, I mean, or right up to probably Die Another Day, was the villain eventually captures Bond. He's sitting on a table. The laser's just about cut him open. He goes, "Now, 007, you will tell us where you find the microfilm." And, of course, you know, he goes, "I'm not going to tell you anything, Goldfinger. Are you just going to torture me more?" And he goes, "No, Mr. Bond, I want you to die." You know, it was the whole... Those classic things.
Oh, that is a classic movie line in any movie, but you know, not just Bond. It's
so, out of all the Bonds, who do you think is your go-to Bond? Is it Roger Moore? Is it George Lazenby? Is it Timothy Dalton? Pierce Brosnan? Sean Connery?
I hate picking favorites on anything because I don't like being pigeonholed into something, but just because there's kind of been a, there's obviously been a variety of Bonds, but the ones that I grew up with, the ones that really introduced me to the character and that universe, were Sean Connery and Roger Moore. And so because I had so much exposure to those two, those are really the ones that I enjoy watching the most. But I can watch any James Bond movie. It doesn't matter. I mean, I really, if I'm in the mood for some kind of some mindless action, which is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I can watch pretty much anything. I really like when they have the marathons. Every once in a while, some channel will have a marathon on. They used to be doing it like around Christmas time. It was kind of nice, you know. I finally turned the Christmas movies off, and all of a sudden, Bond's on every day, every hour. But the nice thing about that is you never know what's going to be on. You know, I mean, it's I turn the TV on, and whatever's on, I'll watch. So it's kind of nice. It's like hitting shuffle on your iPod, or back in the day when you didn't know what song was coming on the radio. And so it's nice because no matter what it was, I just keep watching it.
Nice. One of the ones I always thought was, you know, it's oft thought a bit of a failure, is Honor Her Majesty's Secret Service, which to me, it is a no-frills Bond movie. You know, look, it's gritty. And the fact that, you know, the real guy going into it had no idea how to act, especially around stunt people. You know, they said, right, George, there's a stunt guy over here, stunt guy over here. You're going to knock those two guys out, and then you jump on the bike or whatever it is, and then take off. He goes, yeah, mate, no worries. Boom, boom. The stunt guys aren't getting back up. Yo, you said to knock them out, right?
You know, I have come to appreciate that movie more in recent years. Growing up, I think I had told myself so much that Connery and Moore were Bond to me that I just never could get into Lazenby. But I now that I've kind of revisited that movie, I appreciate it more than I used to.
Kind of feels like an alternate Bond movie. And what is with Telly Savalas' Blofeld, and I don't know if I can do it, but the way he holds a cigarette. What is with that?
I just,
not that I smoke or anything, but yeah, like this.
You know what? I don't know, man. He was trying to make that character his, but it was a good character. I mean, like, it was a good villain, but it wasn't the same guy to me, you know?
No, it wasn't. And the funny thing is, to me, Telly Savalas isn't even Kojak. He's from Kelly's Heroes. You know, when he was in Kelly's Heroes,
oh, sure.
Sergeant. You know, I mean, that's somebody telling Clint Eastwood what to do is somebody that's cool in my book.
Well, they have to be. Otherwise, you don't tell Clint Eastwood what to do.
Yeah. You know, I'll put it in the same boat. If you had to be in charge of Robert De Niro, you'd have to be as cool as Telly Savalas.
That's true. Definitely.
Oh, without a doubt. So, going back over the films, what is the one that sticks out to you as the most exciting? If you had one choice, one movie to put on all the time, it was a Bond movie, which one would it be?
So any Bond movie?
Any Bond movie.
Any Bond movie? Ooh, gosh, that is a good question. Oh, okay. I'll give you two, and then I will force myself to make a decision with whatever I'm in the mood for right now. So my two top choices with Connery and Moore are Goldfinger, like I mentioned, and Live and Let Die. And right now, I think if I had to choose between those two, I would probably put on Live and Let Die.
Nice.
Because of the theme song, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
To me, the best Bond theme song out of all of them. There's a lot of good ones, too. I love them. That's a good playlist in itself right there, right? Just put on a whole playlist of Bond songs. But, yeah, Paul McCartney, Live and Let Die. Oh, yes. I saw him perform that song live.
Oh, wow.
And it got the audience riled up more than any of his other songs, even when he was doing Beatles stuff. So, yeah, great, great performance. So.
Oh, he's the best. I think, too, is like there's so many. You had Tina Turner for Golden Eye, and you had Madonna for Die Another Day, which is quite a good track. I like that one. But Duran Duran for A View to a Kill, I think, is the benchmark.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I love that. I remember seeing that one. See, now, that was the days I started seeing Bond in the theater because I was old enough to just go to the movies by myself. And so that song was pure Bond song for the time, right? I mean, that was an 80s theme song right there.
Well, it's such a great damn film as well. I loved it. I mean, you're a bad guys. Christopher Walken. Hey, Mr. Bond, I'm here. I'm Max Zorin. Let's do some damage.
Yeah, no, it was great. That was Moore's last Bond movie, right?
Yeah, correct. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you could tell, you know, he was getting on there just like Connery was in Never Say Never Again, right?
Oh, yeah.
But he was still a great Bond even then, you know.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is they realized how old they were, but Sean showed that he could be, you know, 400 years old and still go, all right, come here, you. Smash, you know, like.
And it even, I mean, like, they made that part of the movie, right? I mean, yeah. His age as part of the movie, and he took advantage of, I think, maybe the quintessential scene spotlighting his age was when he defeated the guy with a jar of his own urine, you know? That. I mean, you gotta be a tough guy to be able to do that. I mean, come on.
I know, and that's the guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark, where the mono wing or whatever it is, the big winged craft, and he comes out and he goes, right, put your dukes up, the big German guy. That's the same guy.
Yeah, yep, that's right.
Big unit.
So,
crazy.
He always gets taken down, doesn't he? He's a big guy. He always gets taken down.
He's huge. He was the main bad guy in Willow as well.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. He's done a lot of really cool stuff that I like. What's in the background?
That's right. Temple of Doom. He was one of the slave guards who...
yeah, that was probably the most gruesome death that I have seen him in Temple of Doom.
That's right. And if you listen to his Hindi in it, he's not being very nice. He's going, Jaligaro, Jaligaro, hurry up, you. Hurry up, hurry up. Oh, there's two little poor young kids that are mining there. All the gold and the stone walls and stuff. It's an amazing to see that obviously James Bond had an influence on that series as well. I mean, we wouldn't have that today, Indiana Jones, if it wasn't for James Bond.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Even though it's not the same type of character, that they had that in mind completely when they were creating Indiana Jones and the homage when Indy was in his white tux.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was awesome. That was awesome.
At Club Obi-Wan.
Yep. I can't pull off a white tux as good as Harrison Ford or Sean Connery or Roger Moore.
That's great. It's brilliant. But I think, too, the fact that they finally acknowledged it in The Last Crusade with, you know, who can you play, you know, his father better than Bond?
Yeah, right. I mean, that was perfect. He didn't even need a wig in that one.
You know, and I think the other thing too is there's always this going around about Sean Connery's The Rock. Is this like a pseudo sequel to 007? Because I mean, he plays an MI6 agent in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Hey, make it part of your headcanon. I'm totally fine with that.
And of course, Nicolas Cage has got some of the best lines in the world there, going up against Connery. You know, he goes, "What is your name?" "My name is Stanley Goodspeed." "Well, but of course it is." Always some great lines, or he's screaming out, "So what are we gonna do? Some sniper's gonna get his ass."
Yeah, he's that's totally like an old curmudgeonly James Bond. I mean, it is.
Oh, it is. It's such a Michael Bay style film, you know, that whole idea of it being that way. You know, The Rock is what it is. You know, it's classic.
So in action movies were still fun and not just having to be dark and actiony, you know. I like when they're fun.
That's right. And we're trying to say stuff every 5 minutes. I am making a political statement, you know, like all that sort of stuff that we see in every movie now, instead of being actually a character, part of the story and part of the journey, you know, which is what it should be.
I think, yes, I agree.
You know, romps like that, romps like James Bond, you know, it's the reason why it's good to go back in time and check that stuff out, whether it's here or on Techno Retro Dads.
Well, we like talking about that stuff and revisiting all that kind of great, fun entertainment that we grew up with. And I think we turned out okay, so I don't think it messed us up too much. I guess it depends on who you ask.
That's right. So, before we do wrap, let us know what you guys have been covering lately on Techno Retro Days and what to find out and what to check out.
Well, okay, so if you want, you can check out our recent Star Wars Day show, which was all Star Wars all the time. We had a lot of great stuff, just revisiting some stuff, especially focusing on the 40th anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back, which we'll be talking some more here in the next couple weeks. And then, of course, we had our Mother's Day special. We may be the techno retro dads, but that's just me and Chaz. We, of course, honor our wonderful mothers who got us into all this garbage in the first place. You know, they would fund our trips to the arcade. They would drop us off at the movie theater to see our movies. And so, you know, you got to honor your mom. So, of course, that's what we did this last week. So, you know, and we're all over the place these days. We record when we can, and we never have a shortage of stuff to talk about because it's always fun to look back on stuff.
It certainly is. And folks, got to go and check it out. Techno Retro Dads, one of the most entertaining podcasts you will. And I just love the nostalgia that you guys bring, whether it's, you know, all the way from Rice Bubbles all the way up to Thundercats.
Thundercats. I was just looking at a Thundercats sticker right here. Nice. It's like you're right here with me.
I know. It is. It's the world. All right. I want to thank Schwa for joining us today and celebrating a bit of James Bond, giving it a little bit back to franchise that I think, well, we're going to wait till 2021 to the wrap up for Daniel Craig's No Time to Die. And I'm going to give you folks a bit of a clue in why they're calling it No Time to Die. No Time to Die. I just wonder what villain will be involved.
Am I supposed to speculate on that?
You can if you like.
Let's see. I think it's Dr. Die.
Yeah, that's it. Or Dr. Two?
You blew my mind. That's got to be it.
That's got to be it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay.
That just might be a little bit of an idea, folks. You never know. And the fact that Rami Malek never said he wasn't playing a certain character, so put it that way.
Oh, goodness sake. Oh, Rami. He's just going to play... I don't know who he's going to play. We're going to see. I can't wait. This is going to be good.
It's going to be huge. And Blofeld is back as well, folks, so go and check that out too. Hopefully, with a little bit more backstory about how he's not just... Hey, Mr. Bond, I am your brother from another mother, from another side father. or he go the Diamonds Are Forever route, and where he goes, I am the clone of the clone of the other clone, but don't worry, I'm also a clone.
Hey, you know, they need to get you on board to consult on some villains.
Oh, I reckon they do, eh?
Yeah, I think, you know what they need? They just need big Legion of Doom Bond villains. They just all team up.
And, you know, we can have Chris Walken into the star along with my friend over here, Arnold. Hey, Chris, I'm doing with 007. And we can have Mel Gibson walks. All right, my name's Alan. All right, what's that? Oh, all right, let's get 007.
See, I'm telling you, somebody needs to call. I don't know who's got the final rights right now, Broccoli or somebody related to Broccoli, Cauliflower, I don't know, whoever, but they need to give Adam a call. He's got great ideas, everyone, and if you need some voices, then you have him do it too, because it would make for a superb Bond film.
Hello again, space nerds. This is Dan Adley of Type 40. A Doctor Who podcast, and type over 40. Type it over again with our 40 podcast, something like that. Well, check it out. I'm listening to Lee with Mullet podcast. I hope you are too.
Well, that's it for this week on Lee with Mullet podcast. Looking, of course, at Never Say Never Again with Jedi Schwa of Techno Retro Dads, and a big thanks to Schwa. For being on. It's been a while since we've had a podcast together, and just say big thanks to them, and of course Shaz Bazaar and himself on Techno Retro Dads, continuing to give us entertainment and looking back at some of the great retro stuff we all enjoyed from the 80s and beyond, even the 70s, and they continue to do that, folks. So go and check it out at retrozap.com and all the other great shows over there as well. But a personal thanks to, of course, Jedi Schwa for just coming and chilling out in, of course, the Lethal Mullet Pub and Cafe. So, folks, Next episode we've got editing right now is huge. It has got, of course, huge because it's got Lee in it. He's a pretty big dude. He is, of course, the co-host of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast with Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel. He's also swordmaster to the stars, martial artist extraordinaire, and all-around cool dude. And if you haven't checked out his latest podcast with his mum, on Mother's Day, it covered, of course, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. What a great film to look up and check out. And again, a little bit of inside trivia here for you. That film alone with has a character called Harvey. That same actor was Lurch in the Addams Family. So there you go, a little bit for you. And of course, that's Couch Potato Theater on this very network. You could also check him out on the next episode, along with, of course, our amazing editing genius and one man who honestly is the backbone when it comes to getting these shows out there. Not enough credit gets to Kyle. Kyle is one of the greatest when it comes to not only the morale of the team here at the show, but he's just an all-around maestro when it comes to podcasting. And, of course, he's the co-host of many of the shows here as well. A big shout-out to Kyle. Of course, he is the co-host of Culture Clash, The End Zone, and many other shows here in the network. Of course, Union Fed as well, looking at Star Trek there on our Trek Tuesdays. And you've got to go and check out his work. It's fantastic. So big shout-out to the guys. They're going to be on the next episode. We're looking at the Daniel Craig era of James Bond. And, of course, this 007 era is really good because, again, it was a reinvention like many of the others that they've had in the past. GoldenEye was a little bit of a reinvention. This one, different again. Of course, a little bit more closer to the books this time, particularly Casino Royale, and we'll be looking at that with those guys. They're really into it. We also have coming up an episode with James Semple, of course, the composer who composed the amazing work for both Fantha Tracks and, of course, the amazing score you hear on Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast on this very network. Coming on to chalk it up and talk about, of course, the one, the only music of Bond. Not only just the hit pop songs from it, but of course John Barry's scores and more, all here on the show. Plus, I can now say it, folks, we have late in May Richard Ebcar joining us on the show to chat about, of course, his love of Bond. He loves Roger Moore's era, surprisingly. I always thought it was Sean Connery that he liked. But of course, he is the voice of Bateau in Ghost in the Shell. Growing up, of course, he was in Robotech as the amazing friend of Rick Hunter, Ben Dixon. Again, one of those really great roles where, you know, not a lot of cartoons had deaths, you know, making characters mortal. His was very much like Roy Foker in the series. We also have him in, of course, Mortal Kombat playing Raiden. And, of course, in the DC games, he's playing the Joker. But he's here to chat Bond in a couple of weeks, as we have in the past on a previous network I was on running. We chatted, of course, a lot of Bond on that with him as well. Looking at Roger Moore's 007 era with, of course, the amazing voice actor and director, Richard Epcar. All right, folks, that's enough from me this week. Now we're going to hand it over to, of course, Kevin to give you a little bit of insight into what you can find on the network, all here on the Phantom Podcast Network's work of podcasts. So, g'day, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This is Obi saying goodbye. And, of course, the mullet is out.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to our other awesome shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, a weekly pop culture podcast. For you movie fans, we have Couch Potato Theater, where we celebrate our favorite cult classic and guilty pleasure movies. We also have Time Warp. That's our fandom flashback show, where we like to look back on our favorite fandoms. For you NFL fans, we have the End Zone podcast. And of course, for you Alfred Hitchcock fans, please check out Good Evening. For you Star Trek and Orville fans, we also have the Union Federation podcast. And for you hard rock metal fans, we have Hair Metal, the 1980s rock metal podcast. Doctor Who fans, we've got one for you as well. We have Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. If you're a fan of 1980s action films, please check out Lethal Mullet. And our newest show, we have a Star Wars podcast called What a Piece of Junk. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet can also be found on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Please search on Facebook for Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.